We're doing Netivot Shalom on Parshat Matot. Our topic is, Kol Davar She'Yavo Be'esh, Ta'aviru Be'esh. The Torah says, if you have a vessel that was used with fire, you have to pass it through fire in order to purge it of its non-kosher flavor, in order to use it. Vayomer Elazar Kohen L'Anshei HaTzava Be'im L'Milchama. Elazar the Kohen said to the men of war going out to the battle, to the soldiers going out to war, Zot chukat haTorah asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe. This is the rule of the Torah that God commanded Moshe. Kol davar she'yavo be'esh, taviru be'esh. Whatever goes through fire, pass through fire. V'chol asher lo yavo be'esh, taviru b'mayim mitaher. And whatever was not passed through fire, you just have to pass it through hot water and it will be clean. Yesh lever omro zot chukat haTorah. First thing we have to understand, why does he introduce the topic by saying this is the statute of the Torah? Chukat haTorah. Sounds like this is the statute of the whole Torah. How so? Over here, the introduction, this is the statute of the Torah. Sounds like he's talking about the whole Torah. Why? Number two, the commentary Dat Zkenim from the Tosfos, he asked the following. Why wasn't this said until here? We had other wars. We conquered vessels from Sichon and Og. Why did he wait till here? Third question.
Why did he wait till here for what?
To tell us how to purify the vessels. They had non-kosher vessels earlier on in the Torah. Third question. It says, the men of the army who come to war. He's talking about their return from the war. So why does the Pasuk call them the men who come to war? They're the people who just returned from war. They're not going to war. So the concept is like this. The war with Midian represents the war a Jew has with his desires. Midian was the worst thing that came upon Israel. They wanted to destroy Israel. And you see, they were able to get 24,000 Jews to die. We don't find anything like that. Any other time in our history in the desert, you don't find these types of numbers. And that's what Micha tells us. Remember, my nation, what Balak advised, as the Holy Tsar writes, there were never days like this. There was never a danger to the Jewish people like the danger we had with Balak and Midian, where they were able to arouse our desire to a tremendous level. That's how they were trying to destroy us. The Holy Torah is a Torah of life, and it teaches us how to function in life. And that's why this parasha is said to everyone. The parasha is relevant to every individual. Everyone has his desires, and everyone can stand up to his desires. But everyone knows there are times where their desires suddenly go on steroids. The desires suddenly seem to overcome a person. And a person feels like his challenge is huge. He's not sure if he can stand up to it. That's where Elazar comes to the men of war. He says, you who come to war. He's saying, you're going to war now. That's the war a person has to take control of himself. That's the hardest war. This is the rule of the Torah. That's the rule of Torah observance in general. At all times, when a Jew finds himself faced under attack, his desires are getting the better of him, what do you do? Whatever ordinarily goes through water must go through fire. It says in the Avodas Yisrael that when the Talmud says whatever you use with hot water, use with hot water, whatever with cold, clean with cold, there's a Yetzer Hara that uses heat. When a person does the transgression, he's excited. He's all revved up. So cleanse it with heat. That means a person has to get excited over holy things. If a person finds himself excited to do what's wrong, the cure for that is to get excited over doing what's holy and right. Yet there are things that are done in cold, that when a person does it, he doesn't get all excited. He does it as though something else took control of him. So then you clean it with cold water, that a person just says, I'm not doing that again. I didn't want to do that. I'm not doing that again. If he really decides I'm not doing that, he can decide that. Then there are things which are even worse. They come through fire, where it's like a fire burning with him. And he feels like his desire is so great, he doesn't see if he has the strength to overcome it. And then it's not enough to get excited to do a mitzvah and say I'll channel my excitement elsewhere, because the only a person can't say I accept upon myself to daven with more kavanah, I accept upon myself to come to shul earlier. It's not going to work. When a person comes to war and he's bringing the most advanced weapons, so then the only way, you can't fight him by throwing rocks. You have to fight fire with fire. And a person has to develop the fire within him for the love of their Ribbono Shel Olam and the desire to come close to their Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a different thing. We said, when a person regrets his decision, he has to decide, I'm not doing that again. When a person finds himself excited to do something wrong, he should excite himself to do something right. Focus, channel his excitement to doing something holy. When a person finds that there's a fire burning within him, he's so excited, he's so into going and doing what's wrong, then he has to develop a fire within him for the love and the desire of a closeness to Hashem. And that fire consumes the other fire. The fire of holiness can consume the fire of the Yetzer Hara. And that's what Elazar told the men of war. He said, you're coming to war. His point was, you're going to come in life to wars to conquer your desires. When the Yetzer Hara is coming with fire, the only way is, bring on another fire. As a kid, I remember, you'd see people davening with all their excitement. And you'd wonder what's going on with them. Today, I see it differently. There are times in life where you want to do that. So make sure you don't sock the guy next to you in the face, right? That's not legitimate. But a person, there are times where a person has to arouse the fire within him to be super excited about his connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why here, after the war with Midian, not with the other wars, because the other wars were small battles. There were little fights with a little nation that just served as the great protector for 39 other nations, Sihon, Og, but they were small compared to Midian. With Midian, they were trying to get us at our desires. They're sending girls to bring down Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's called the rule for all of Torah. Now, the best time for this is on Shabbos. The existence of every Jew is far more delicate on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have greater sensitivities. On Shabbos, a person can arouse within himself a love of Hashem. It can arouse within himself a desire to connect to Hashem without the distractions of the weekday. The cell phones are off. I'm not on the computer. I'm not seeing all the advertisements. I'm nowhere else. I'm in a different zone. It's called Shabbos. Shabbos, I can connect to parts of myself that I don't even know exist the rest of the week. The grandfather from Slonim said, our sages said, whoever keeps Shabbos in accordance with Halacha, even if he was a pagan, he can attain forgiveness. How could he attain forgiveness? If a person's a pagan, he gets a death penalty. What did the Talmud mean by that? So the grandfather of Slonim explained that when the Talmud says, he who keeps Shabbos in accordance with Halacha, it means he keeps Shabbos with a tremendous desire for Hashem. That's the level that he says, I want my soul should be connected to Hashem. That's called Shomer Shabbat Kilchata. The essence of the laws of Shabbos is that a person should be in Shabbos lovesick. That a person his joy of Shabbos is like being on a great date. You're on the best date of your life. The focus is the steak. The focus is the wine. I hope you don't drink wine on a date. After you're married, you'll decide. But the focus isn't the ambiance. The focus isn't the beautiful sunset over Jerusalem. The focus is the person you're with. All of that is supportive. Shabbos, a person could walk into Shabbos and he could look at the chulent. He could look at the sleep he's going to get. He could enjoy the singing in shul. And it's like the guy on the date who's looking at the sunset. It was a great date. I loved the sunset. Really? Don't be surprised if she dumps you the next date. But you're on the date and you're thinking about the food and the drink and the sunset, then the date is not a real date. If you're with the person and everything else is just supportive, so then you're connecting. That's where Shabbos should be. where a person is, through all of that, he's connecting to a greater connection. Based on this, it was also explained, Rashi says, Tzaroret amidyanim, Rashi says like Zachol v'shamo. The same way that one fulfills Zachol v'shamo, he could deal with the Midianites. Again, Midian is the worst enemy. It's where they can arouse a person's desire for the worst things. Through Shabbos, through Zachor and Shamo, a person can arouse the fire of holiness within him and dedicate himself to Hashem like he couldn't do the rest of the week. You want to know how you fight? Some of you are going back to Schmutzlards. Some of you will find yourself with challenges like the Midianites. I don't know how people put themselves in that challenge of doing university in Chutzlards, where they have a lab partner that's a very nice non-Jewish woman, or they can have all kinds of scenarios where they have very, very nice non-Jewish people next to them. Why wouldn't a person be tempted? It's hard not to be tempted. God created us human, and temptation is on a different plane than your logic and your belief system. You know what you believe, you know where you think your life should be. All that logic is nice. Temptation is on a totally different plane. It's touching a person on another level. So all his logic can melt away. I know I believe in that, but you ask a person, you really believed you should have done that? No, I shouldn't have done that. Of course I shouldn't have done that. How do you deal with that? First of all, don't put yourself in that challenge. Don't go to a university where you'll have a non-Jewish lab partner. Get a Jewish lab partner. But a person through Shabbos, there a person can arouse that fire of holiness. Another explanation, when it says whatever ordinarily goes through fire, you could fight with fire, it's talking about the Beit HaMikdash. We say about the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem, you burned it with fire, and with fire you will rebuild it. This is one of the most moving prayers of the year. On Tisha B'Av itself, on Mincha of Tisha B'Av, we say an amazing prayer called Nachem. Hashem, we anticipate the comfort of Zion. And one of the things we say over there is, you destroyed the temple with fire, and with fire you will rebuild it. The burning of the Beit HaMikdash was when they could mix a defiled fire with the holy fire. Chazal say they didn't know how to destroy the temple. Hashem will see it in a pasuk in Eicha, Mimarom shalachish ba'atzmotai vayirdena. Hashem sent the fire from heaven. One medrash says a fire came down to burn the temple. Another medrash says angels came down with fire. The soldiers didn't know. How do you burn stone? Stone doesn't burn. How do you destroy the temple? Angels came down and lit the stones with fire. So Hashem wanted the temple destroyed. And Hashem will rebuild it with a fire. When a Jew can bring in the holy fire into himself, when a Jew can say, I'm dedicated to the service of Hashem, that's the beginning of the rebuilding of the temple. Our sages say, any generation that the temple was not rebuilt in, it's as though the temple was destroyed in that generation. That's a scary concept. You come to Tisha B'Av, you tell yourself, yeah, a few thousand years ago, the temple was destroyed. It's not my fault. It happened then. Chazal say, no. If in your generation it wasn't rebuilt, that means had it been built, it would have been destroyed in your day. So that means we have a lot of work to do. The Nativot Shalom suggests, when it says in your days, it means your Shabbos. Shabbos is called your days. Great days are called days. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbat. When the Torah talks about days, it's talking about the great days of one's life. The rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash is through Shabbos. Shabbos is when a person can arouse the holy fire within him. Shabbos is when a person can lay the foundations of rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. We said the Beit HaMikdash has to be rebuilt with fire. How do you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash with fire? That's the fire in one's heart. These 3 weeks between Shiva Sab Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, that's the great time for rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. And the greatest component of these 3 weeks are the Shabbatot of these 3 weeks. Because on Shabbat, a person can arouse the holy fire from within him and reach that level where he desires the Ribbono Shel Olam, desires the connection, desires the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. I want to end with a small story. And when I first heard it, it just seemed cute. But over the years, it's gaining more and more meaning for me. At one point, I don't know if it was one of the teachers or my wife, told the kids, when they were real little, like 5 years old, 6 years old, that when they do a mitzvah, so they're adding another brick to the Beit HaMikdash in Shemayim, and when the Beit HaMikdash will be completely built, then Hashem will bring it down, and it'll settle on the, we'll come to Har HaBayit, and what we'll see there will be a Beit HaMikdash built of the mitzvot that all the children have done. So I'm passing by, and I hear the kid asking my wife, did I do it right? My wife says, yeah. And the kid says, is there another brick in the Beit HaMikdash in Shemayim? And I smiled and walked on, but that question stayed with me. Perhaps we also have to think, is there another brick in the Beit HaMikdash in Shemayim? Have I made this Shabbos a Shabbat where the fire of holiness has created another brick in the Beit HaMikdash in Shemayim?